You're listening to the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, all-knowledgeable, omniscient, please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My topic for today is long-suffering, a fruit of the Spirit, part 1. My scripture comes from Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, which states, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. My text is Ephesians 4:2, which says, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Long-suffering is one of the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, is one of the fruit born of the Holy Spirit. Long-suffering is not simply suffering for a long time, but is a specific word used in the Bible. That word, combining the Greek words for long and temper, more fully means to be slow to anger, to suffer anger with restraint, or to forbear. A long-suffering person does not immediately retaliate or punish. Rather, he has a long fuse and patiently forbears. In verse 1 of our scripture, this is a general exhortation to walk as become our Christian duty. Paul was now a prisoner at Rome, and he was the prisoner of the Lord, or in the Lord, which signifies as much as for the Lord. Paul's imprisonment for the sake of the gospel is for the Lord. His exhortations have great power, since he himself has taken these measures seriously enough to suffer confinement in the Lord's service. Christians are to live in a manner worthy of the adoption, holiness, and unity in which they were called. He mentions this once and again to show that he was not ashamed of his bonds, well knowing that he suffered not as an evildoer, and likewise to recommend what he wrote to them with the greater tenderness and with some special advantage. It was a doctrine he thought worth suffering for, and therefore surely they should think it worthy their serious regards and their dutiful observance. We have here the petition of a poor prisoner, one of Christ's prisoners. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, considering what God has done for you and to what a state and condition he has called you, as has been discoursed before, I have now come with an earnest request to you, not to send me relief, not to use your interest for the obtaining of my liberty, the first thing which poor prisoners are wont to solicit from their friends, but that ye may approve yourselves good Christians and live up to your duty and calling, that ye walk worthily, agreeably, suitably, and in harmony to those happy circumstances into which the grace of God has brought you, whom he has converted from heathenism to Christianity. Christians ought to accommodate themselves to the gospel by which they are called, and to the glory to which they are called. Both are their vocation. We are called Christians. We must answer that name and live like Christians. We are called to God's kingdom and glory. That kingdom and glory, therefore, we must mind and walk as becomes the heirs of them. Starting with verse 2, the apostle proceeds to more particular encouragements. 2, he enlarges upon, to unity and love, purity and holiness, which Christians should very much study. Paul exhorts the church to unity based on the truths of the one God and his one work of salvation. We do not walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called if we be not faithful friends to all Christians and sworn enemies to all sin. This section contains the exhortation to mutual love, unity, and concord, with the proper means and motives to promote them. Nothing is pressed upon us more earnestly in the scriptures than this. Love is the law of Christ's kingdom, the lesson of his school, the livery of his family, the means of unity, lowliness and meekness, long-suffering and forbearing one another in love. By lowliness, we are to understand humility, entertaining mean thoughts of ourselves, which is opposed to pride. The meekness, that excellent disposition of soul, which makes men unwilling to provoke others, and not easily to be provoked or offended with their infirmities. And it is opposed to angry resentments and ill temper. Long suffering implies a patient bearing of injuries without seeking revenge. Forbearing one another in love signifies bearing their infirmities out of a principle of love, and so as not to cease to love them on the account of these. The best Christians must have need to bear one with another, and to make the best one of another, to provoke one another's graces and not their passions. We find much in ourselves which it is hard to forgive ourselves, and therefore we must not think it much if we find that in others which we think hard to forgive them, and yet we must forgive them as we forgive ourselves. Now, without these things, unity cannot be preserved. The first step towards unity is humility. Without this, there will be no meekness, no patience, no forbearance. And without these, no unity. Humility was regarded as distasteful by the pagan world in Paul's day. Pride was more highly prized. All of the virtues mentioned, humility, gentleness, patience, and most of all, love, were displayed in Christ's own character and are to be evident in the daily walk of every Christian. Pride and passion break the peace and make all the mischief. Humility and meekness restore the peace and keep it. Peace is a state of reconciliation and love, and therefore acts as a bond to unite believers in Christ. Believers do not create unity, but they are to preserve the unity already established. Only by pride comes contention. Only by humility comes love. The more lowly-mindedness, the more light-mindedness. We do not walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we are called if we be not meek and lowly of heart. For he by whom we are called, he to whom we are called, and standing out for meekness and lowliness of heart, and has commanded us therein to learn of him. The nature of that unity which the apostle prescribes is the unity of the Spirit. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good day and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the encourager, Minister David Michael. Today's topic is, where is your focus? It is important that we acknowledge the significance of focus during this season of adversity and how the subject of our focus can ultimately shape our legacy. If you have ever flown in an airplane, you know that your perspective of the earth is far different from what it was when you were on the ground. This is the kind of perspective God wants to give us concerning our lives. As we focus on God instead of ourselves and our circumstances, our perspectives change. By focus, we mean prioritizing your relationship with God by setting spiritual goals for yourself. Things like spending more time with God, studying the Word of God, praying, praising, and living according to the Word. So today I ask you, where is your focus during this season? And I challenge you to consider the following three things. First, let go of the issues and concerns outside of your control. Yes, be diligently watchful, wise, prayerful, and take reasonable measures, but refuse to become obsessed with problems that you were never meant to manage. Second, turn your attention to what God is accomplishing. View the current situation in light of His sovereignty rather than on the conjectures of people. This is very important because when we see our circumstances as the result of man's will and fail to understand them through the filter of God's plan, it will create all kinds of uncertainty and anxiety for us. Therefore, look for the Lord's provision and will in everything and trust His ability to work all things together for good and His ultimate purpose. And third, faithfully accomplish whatever God has given you to do. Realize that you matter. Your faithfulness as a believer is an essential part of His work in the world. This is the very reason the enemy desires to distract you, because he knows the Lord can actively accomplish great things through you. The Apostle Paul could have focused on his pain while in jail, on lockdown in Rome, and the overwhelming circumstances of that period in history. But instead, he made it his goal to encourage the churches and be a faithful witness of God's grace. And because of it, his letters within the Bible have encouraged believers throughout the ages. The Lord God wants to do eternity-shaping things through you as well. You may not think you have the gifts to make much of a difference, but as a person who has been saved by Jesus and indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you have everything you need to be His hands and feet in the world. So let go of the temporary and let Him work the eternal through you. Remember, all have violated God's divine law and fall short of His glory. But be encouraged, because the good news is that God loved you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus, who died, was buried, and arose, so that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So for the unsaved, it's the right time for you to believe the good news, repent, and accept Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior. For the saved, it's the right time for you to continue to pray, trust and obey His word by the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and take purposeful action for His glory. Life is full of uncertainties, but you'll find that God's grace is sufficient, and trust in Him is never misplaced. Stay encouraged, my friends. Keep looking up and focus on carrying out God's plan for your life. Shalom.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging.